Sorry, gang, we had a slight technical problem.
And we're in business.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. We're brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll, of course, beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. The phone number, 800-222-5222. Love to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about, or if you want to comment when I'm talking about, we can have a conversation. I want to alert you that next hour, everybody in the building, so excited the last couple of days, Michio Kaku, who is a professor of theoretical physics at the City College of New York, and probably one of the world's best-known futurists, because you know him from the movie Me and Isaac. He's on the Discovery Channel. He's on the Science Channel. He's going to tell us where we're going as a human race. He's fascinating. And people were coming up going, you got him, you got him. Amazing guy. Amazing, amazing futurist. And also, he makes science palatable for the masses. He's really, really interesting. So that's coming up next hour. Also, tickets to see Mars Day and the Time at the Saban Theater, Greg Kuhn Concert for the Arts, Rick Springfield, Terry Nunn from Berlin, Venice, and student musicians. I got those tickets, too. I should start by saying that Jeff Sessions is in town. If you notice, he's in Sacramento because he's here to issue an injunction that will apply statewide, which would bar barring enforcement of the three challenged laws to sanctuary cities. This will test the power of the Trump administration to force California police departments and local governments to cooperate with deportations and other aggressive enforcement actions targeting those who entered the country illegally. And first let me play a clip, because something interesting happened on the show this morning. If you didn't hear Doug's show, why not? But here's what happened, because he had Attorney General Jeff Sessions on.
To essentially nullify federal law when it comes to law enforcement is a fundamental concept that was repudiated when Jefferson and Madison tried the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions, and it was tried again under Andrew Jackson with South Carolina and John C. Calhoun, and then we fought a big war over it. But it's back, and if we lose this round in court, if the federal government loses this round in court, what's to stop 50 states from going off on their own on any policy?
Doug, that is a very good analysis and summary of some of the fundamental principles here. I'm going to actually say in my speech, now that you mention it, that if they don't understand nullification and secession, go to Gettysburg. Look at John C. Calhoun and Abraham Lincoln's tombstone. That matter's settled.
All right, so he heard that on Doug's show. And then he went out and made the address, and here's what he said. Give a listen.
There is no nullification. There is no secession. Federal law is the supreme law of the land. I would invite any doubters to go to Gettysburg or to the tombstones of John C. Calhoun and Abraham Lincoln. This matter has been settled.
So didn't give Doug credit. This isn't like, it reminds me of when Gene Simmons stole my You're a Handsome, Powerful Man and Never Ever gave credit, but I guess Sessions is not going to give a shout out in the middle of a sanctuary city speech. The issue here is supposedly cut and dry. You would think it's cut and dry, but you got sanctuary policies on the pro side are protected by the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, which provides for the separation of federal, state, and powers. And supposedly prevents the federal government from coercing state or local governments to use their resources to enforce a federal regulatory program. That's going to be the argument in court. Sanctuary policies, on the other side, defy federal laws. So the legal takes the emotional out of it. It's going to be fascinating to see how this is going to be handled and how it's going to come down legally. There are legal scholars out there who support both sides. But Sessions is here to make a point as far as sanctuary cities and sending a message to the other sanctuary cities. Now the deal is that the new suit doesn't seek a nationwide lawsuit, but it does ask a single federal judge in Sacramento to issue the injunction. So you can comment on that, 800-222-5222. The optics are that he's here in California saying you're not going to be defiant anymore. You can't go around federal laws. You have to enforce this. And, of course, Governor Jerry Brown pushing back and some of the municipalities pushing back, saying that they encourage good relationships with undocumented and law enforcement and On the other side, of course, it's you're protecting criminals and creating a dangerous environment for citizens. So those are the arguments. You take the emotion out of it and we'll see what a judge, how a judge weighs in on this, as far as the 10th Amendment as opposed to defying federal laws. So it's going to be an interesting challenge and interesting to see how it's written and how it comes down. That's one of the big issues today that I want to talk about. The number one trending issue, which I hadn't prepared to talk about, was this Stormy Daniels lawsuit. Because there's more to it than just a porn star who's suing the President of the United States. As it happens, that right now, apparently the President used the pseudonym of David Dennison, so that his name wouldn't be mentioned in this agreement. And his attorney, Michael Cohen, apparently tried to silence Clifford from coming forward to tell the story, he filing a secret arbitration action against her last week. Her lawyers are saying because the President did not sign it, she's free to talk. And so she's going to court to see if she's free to talk and can sell a book or tell her story, because now she wants to tell her story. They're also implying that the President was well aware of the hush payment, and now you get into the campaign finance rules. If he knew, then this is a campaign finance thing. The $130,000 was paid to influence a campaign. So those are legal issues there. They're asking the Los Angeles County Superior Court to declare that both the hush agreement and the side agreement were never formed and therefore do not exist. Now, here's the interesting part. Here's the side agreement, which is really strange. The side agreement, if you look at it, and the attachment details an assignment of copyright. And that sounds kind of dry, but under federal copyright law, that means the author automatically retains the copyright to any work at the point that the work is fixed in a tangible medium. So cutting through all of that is potential. I asked the lawyer about this. There is potential that the President on the side deal, if they can enforce that, owns the rights to anything she does. Her books, a movie that she does, any kind of media rights that she would do. He owns it. So theoretically, if she appears at a strip club next weekend, she has to send him a bag of ones. Okay, because they're his. He owns the entire thing. The presentation would be brought to you by the President of the United States, Donald Trump. So I'm fascinated to see how that thing trends and where that thing is going as far as the excitement of copyright. I don't think we've ever had a President of the United States that owned the rights to a porn star. So she would theoretically, if she does a porn movie based on her story, she would have to mail the President of the United States a check because she assigned the copyright of Stormy Daniels to the President of the United States. What world is that? Or have we entered the bizarre universe or not yet? Steve in Los Feliz, good morning.
Good morning. If you listen to Sessions' speech in front of the law enforcement people in Sacramento,
right,
there wasn't any clapping, cheering, whatever, for all his statements. But in any case, this is all a for-show thing because pot is on the federal registry as being illegal in all kinds of ways and shapes and forms. And if you looked around, there's a pot shop in your neighborhood for both recreational and medicinal. So it depends who wants to enforce what.
Well, it's going to be, here's what I said yesterday, Steve, as far as the pot thing. The pot thing is interesting because Jeff Sessions is strongly behind asset forfeiture, where they're expanding asset forfeiture, which means if they suspect you, a police officer suspects something's going on a hunch, he can take your money. If you're riding around in a car and you got cash there, he decides to take it, you have to fight to get it back, which sounds insane. Sounds unconstitutional, but they're expanding that. One of the reasons they're expanding it is for the weed thing. You watch. They're gonna have these big corporations that want to finance and fund weed. Jeff Sessions is going to be able to do asset forfeiture and take their money. He's not going to go after the small guy, the pot shops. He's going to go after the corporations
that are funding
those pot shops in a huge way. Now, the other thing is, here's the question. You've got midterms coming up, and then you're going to have another election down the road. Weed is really popular. Look at the vote. Look at the groundswell of support for legalized marijuana. You can lose voters. That is an issue where you can lose voters big time on the weed thing. So I'm fascinated to see where Sessions is going to stand on that. I don't know that Jeff Sessions is going to last because of the situation that he has with the President. And part of this, I'm sure, is the president's being told the weed thing is going to lose you voters, lose you young voters, and lose you a bit of your base, because even in his base, there's strong support for marijuana being legalized. So the asset forfeiture thing is a kind of below-the-radar thing, but take a look at it. And, yeah, you're exactly right. What Sessions, his take on weed is, it's just as lethal and bad a drug as anything else, and he wants to punish people for it. But it is a voting thing, man. This is one that could affect the base and affect the turnout. It's one of those developments where people actually turn out and vote to support weed or not. So that is another issue, and it does tie into the asset forfeiture. Moving on from the Stormy Daniels thing, I just wanted to do a final analysis on the Sam Nunberg reaction yesterday. Sam Nunberg was the former Trump aide who went on every possible TV show except animated cartoons yesterday to say conflicting things about the Trump administration, about his relationship with Roger Stone, about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. He called her a fat slob. He was taking shots at her. You had Erin Burnett saying that she smelled alcohol on his breath, and people had discussions yesterday of should they have had him on shows if they knew that he was drunk and out of it. It's also like asking people, should you have people on shows who are dumb and stupid and you should protect them? Nevertheless, today he's apologizing for his extremely personal attacks against Sarah Huckabee Sanders. He said, it was wrong of me to attack Sarah. She's very talented. It was a rude comment. I understand she was just doing her job, and I think she does a very good job under rough circumstances. I owe an apology. I was having a rough day. We still don't have a definitive answer on why he would go on all of these television shows, knowing that he full well that he was subpoenaed by Mueller and he has to testify. You just can't not testify. But what I wanted to read you just as a postscript was some of the comments that he received on the internet. So he's got a real big pushback and commentary about him. And here we go. If you can play this under a little bit, here you go. Wow. This Sam Nunberg episode of Drunk History is actually pretty good. Sam Nunberg is not winning the jet ski, referring to the Oscars where the person who had the shortest speech wins the jet ski. Hey, when they make the Trump movie, I hope they don't cut right from Sam Nunberg saying, I'm not going to jail, to Sam Nunberg in jail, because come on, that's been done. Another person wrote, is this like a speed thing, you know, the movie? Sam Nunberg has to keep himself on TV or he blows up. By the way, it's as good an explanation as any I've read. This is a teenager wrote this. People like Sam Nunberg are going around every new show on TV and acting like absolute lunatics. But sure, it's us teenagers who are the immature ones who need to get out of politics, right? Another person wrote, I gotta go for a walk right now, just in case Sam Nunberg is running down the street in his underwear screaming at strangers. I want to see that. As far as Nunberg complaining that he's not going to testify in front of Mueller and have to go through all his old emails and dig them out, they wrote, does Sam Nunberg know you can search your inbox? It's not that hard. And the most telling one, I think, is the craziest thing about this whole Sam Nunberg thing is we're all going to forget about it in 48 hours. And boy, is that right, because the move cycle, the news cycle is moving so rapidly as it seems to do every day here. In a more serious note, moving on from Nunberg, it looks like Paul Ryan and a lot of the Republican Party is at odds and at war with the president over his tariffs. The fact that he says he wants to put tariffs on steel and aluminum. And they're not going to win, because if you look back to stuff Trump said long before he was a candidate, this was his stance, that we are somehow taken in the shorts because of trade, and we're on the losing end of that stick. The deal with this, and I think this is why Mr. Cohen left, and they're saying that this could shake up a lot of things, because he's viewed as a pro-business, pro-free trade guy. He was also instrumental in getting the tax cut plan passed. Depending on who he replaces, is he going for a free market guy? The markets could be a bit shaky. As a matter of fact, they opened down today as they're waiting to see who they put in there. But the deal about trade and trade deficits are the fact that countries don't lose money on trade deficit. It just means that people in one country are buying more goods from another country than people in that second country are buying from the first country. And a lot of folks in his own party are saying this is not a good situation. We don't want to get into a trade war. And what could happen in a trade war, just so you know, and why they're worried about it is the people that we would get in a trade war with aren't pikers. These people are not novices as far as trade. You know what they're going to do? Because somebody said to me the other day, why didn't I hear that they're going to target, of all things, bourbon and Harley Davidson's? Well, you know why they're going to target bourbon and Harley Davidson's? Because they want to hurt Trump's base. They know who they're targeting. They want to target the red state. They're going to go after Bert. That didn't come out of act. It wasn't accidentally, oh, bourbon is a thing that I just pulled out of my butt. No, bourbon's from Kentucky. Harley Davidson is from Wisconsin. So what they'll do is they'll go after the base, or they'll split the base right down the middle and have them fighting each other. They'll do agriculture and something else. So they're not just going to randomly target stuff. They're going to target stuff that will hurt the president and his base and a chance for reelection. You don't, when you go to a trade war, you don't just start taxing and tariffing stuff that's meaningless. You tariff stuff that can hurt people and get people's attention. So that's why somebody said to me the other day, how weird is that? Bourbon and Harley Davidson's? And I said, no, no, no. Whenever you hear tariffs happening, look at what state that thing is made in. Look who that state voted for. And bingo, that'll give you some idea of what party they would try and hurt and whose base they would try and hurt. So bourbon was just not out of somebody's butt. You know what I mean? That wasn't picked randomly. That was for an intent because of Kentucky. All right. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, one bourbon. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. And by the way, breaking news. I'm looking here. Jack Daniels could be an unfortunate, unintended victim of Trump tariffs. The CEO, Brown-Forman, which makes Jack, said Wednesday the company could be an unfortunate and unintended victim of Trump's plan to impose tariffs of 25% on imported steel and on foreign aluminum of 10%. The EU has threatened to retaliate with its own tariff on now American whiskey. And they will target it where it hurts the Republican Trump voters the most. Let me see the other items that they say they're going to tax now. The European Trade Commissioner said today, the bloc is considering new taxes on products including bourbon, orange juice, denim, cranberries. That's not good. People have prostate. They need cranberries. Peanut butter and motorcycles. So look where all of that stuff is made. Get a map. Put pushpins in the map and see who that would hurt. Germany, which is the largest economy in the EU, is a top steel and aluminum exporter. And the foreign minister said the EU must respond decisively to U.S. punitive tariffs, which endangers thousands of jobs in Europe. There should be no doubt about that in Washington. So not only is his own party trying to pressure him to drop the tariff talk, but the European Union now is sending out these warning shots saying, you know what, go for it. Don't test us because we're ready to start hurting you like you're going to hurt us. But it doesn't appear that he's backing off. Nobody has been able to make him change his mind on this one. And I don't think that, honestly, I don't think they will, because if you go back and hear him talk, like I said, 10, 15, 20 years ago, he was railing about how we were being taken advantage of by other countries and that they should put tariff on items. So it's going to be a tough job for the GOP and the Democratic Party to say to him, this is not a good thing economically for us at this point in time when the economy's doing pretty well. 800-222-5222, Peter Tilden 10 continues right after this.
KABC News is live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. Attorney General Jeff Sessions told California Day today to knock it off when it comes to interfering with immigration agents.
Stop actively obstructing federal law enforcement.
Speaking to law enforcement officers in Sacramento, Sessions said three new laws the state passed last year are keeping the public in danger.
Stop protecting lawbreakers and giving all officers more dangerous work to do.
One law makes it a crime for business owners to voluntarily help federal agents find and detain undocumented workers. State leaders, however, deny the claim that the laws prevent the federal government from doing its job. James Rojas, KABC News.
California Governor Jerry Brown says there may be ulterior motives for Jeff Sessions' lawsuit against the Golden State and the news conference he held today in Sacramento.
This attorney general is maybe he's trying to keep his job because the president is not too happy with him.
Another winter storm is pounding the northeastern U.S. with a foot of snow expected in many areas. The nor'easters prompted over 2,400 flight cancellations so far today, according to FlightAware. Nearly 50 flights at LAX have been canceled or delayed so far today, mainly flights to and from airports in New York, New Jersey, Boston, and Philadelphia. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Clippers lost to Narlins 121-116 despite DeAndre Jordan's 10 points and 20 rebounds. Lakers will host Orlando at 7:30 tonight. Ducks whip Washington 4-0 to move into second place in the Pacific Division. Fourth place LA Kings host the Metro Division leading Capitals tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. Exhibition baseball, Dodgers lost to the Cubs 9-5 yesterday. Angels fell to the D-backs 5-4. The Dodgers will battle the Angels today in Arizona. And that's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. We'll have traffic, a market check, weather, and more of Tilden at 10 coming up next. KABC News Time is 1032.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. So, I like football. I mean, I came from Philly, and the Eagles won the Super Bowl, not the Raiders. Shove that up, you know, again, bring that up again. Because I've been gone so long, as Billy Crystal always says, you're just cheering for outfits anyway at this point. There's no players there that I know. But you like to get into the Rams, into the Chargers, and I'm seeing that the tickets are going on sale. And here's, you got to buy a licensing. You got to license your seat. Man, I don't get this, but I do get it. I get it because the developers have to make their money back. The best seats at Los Angeles' newest stadium will come with a licensing bill, ready for this, of $100,000 for Rams season ticket holders and $75,000 for Chargers season ticket holders. Roughly 25% of the stadium seats are classified as premium. And you'll be able to get tickets and details about the project. I think they go on sale on Tuesday. The seat licensing program, they're saying, is an NFL first. Yeah, because they're building a really expensive stadium. They want all this upfront money. Essentially functioning as a 50-year deposit is what you're doing to help fund the $2.6 billion stadium construction. So I'm loaning you money for 50 years, and after 50 years, the original stadium seat license cost will be repaid to whoever owns it. So I put up the money now. I put $200,000 down for two seats, premium seats, and in 50 years, my son's children are going to get the money back for those seats. I'm guessing is that stadium going to be standing in 50 years? Anyway, you'll be required to pay a one-time license cost in addition to the ticket price, which is going to be $375 for Rams games and $350 for Chargers games. Wow. And those are the same for all three tiers. A spokesperson of the Rams said every single seat in the stadium will require an SSL. In other words, no matter where you sit in that stadium, you got to put money down for the seat. The cheapest will be less than $1,000. When they put it that way, you know what that means, $958. The Chargers declined to release estimated pricing costs on non-premium seats, noting that nearly each seat in the stadium will also require an SSL. Is this the new thing now? They come to your town, and they say they're not going to take the tax money, but they're going to charge you to own the seat. I get to see that seat, what, every Sunday for how many games? And see, what are six games in the season? And then you know what's going to happen. If you get in the playoffs and you get in the Super Bowl, they're going to charge you less. When it comes to an individual fan, you can curate this experience for yourself, and you can find the appropriate level of pricing, the right level of seat, which team you want to identify with, and make it your own in a very personal way for your own Los Angeles journey. Rams Chief Operating Officer Kevin DeMoff said, wow, what does that even mean? If I give you $100,000 for a seat, do I get to take the seat home? Do I get to sit in it all week? Now, listen to this. There are three high-end luxury levels, all access, VIP, and club. With the top one, you get seats between, you know, 20 rows up and between the 45-yard lines on each side of the stadium. You get food, drinks, premium parking, and all this. For the lowest VIP one, listen what you pay. Licenses will range between $15,000 and $35,000 for Rams games. So now you pay $35,000 for a seat. You buy two seats, that's $70,000, and it comes with club access but does not include parking, food, or drinks. So you're going to pay $70,000 plus tickets, and you're not going to get parking? How much money do people have? I'm guessing this is all for corporations who just write this stuff off, and your company or your law firm or whatever buys you the seats. Because do normal mere mortals really have 35 grand to plunk down on a seat plus the ticket price and not get parking and not get food or drinks? The other thing, if anybody has the information on this, I know that we're not getting hit up for taxes, but if you go deep, the stadium, they're still going to benefit because it could generate, the stadium could generate more than $1 billion in taxes over 25 years. The developers want $25 million a year from the city as reimbursements for eligible costs. And any surplus would go back to the city, meaning they can reimburse for costs on event days for police, emergency medical crews, shuttle buses, etc. Those could be as high as $8 million to $40 million for a five-year period. So they're not getting a tax break, but these billionaires have figured out a way to get their investment back. Nobody's dumb enough. No billionaire is dumb enough to lose money on a stadium. They didn't do this just because they want us to have a pretty stadium. They want to make sure that their investment pays off. So they get a tax break to cover their eligible costs, and I'd love to read the flyer that has all the eligible costs written down there. And they're going to sell you a seat, but guess what? The good news is, hang out, because we're going to give you your money back. In 50 years, you get to get the money back for your seat. Wow. Well, good luck, Rams and Chargers fans. I mean, I like the Rams. I like the Chargers. I went to one or two games. But, man, for this kind of price and what they have to offer, I guess it's going to be all corporations and folks that I'll never get to mingle with. 800-222-5222. Peter Tillman 10 continues after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman 10 continues. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, going to tell us where we're going as a population and where we're headed next. The guy's famous. He's on all these television shows. They've done a bunch of movies relating to what he does. There was one specifically about me and Isaac, about his life. He's going to be on, and we're going to talk to him about where we are headed. I mean, you got all these billionaires who are competing now for our future, shooting missiles into the sky, you know, and doing the space program. When we used to do the space program, government, no more. It's going private. Frank in Costa Mesa, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, you know, the NFL can keep those seats as far as I'm concerned. The pricing seems to me outrageous. NFL and NBA has become a game for the elite. The people can afford to spend hundreds of dollars to go to a game. It's why I like Major League Baseball. I mean, they play a lot of games, but the pricing is where the average guy can actually go to a game. And I don't think you're going to get the playoff games in that ticket package. They're going to hit you.
I was shocked. I mean, I know we got a lot of wealthy people here in L.A. and Orange County, but when you're talking about $15,000 to $35,000 for a seat, to buy the seat, and then you got to pay the ticket for the seat, and that license comes with the club access, but you still have to buy food. You're allowed in the club. In other words, come on in. You wave your pass at them, you're allowed in, and then you have to pay for food, and you have to pay for parking. So you get no food, no drink for a $35,000 seat. In what world does somebody have that kind of money?
Yeah, I don't get it. The NBA and Football League is for the rich people now. It's just the way it is.
It's a shame.
We'll have to watch it on TV.
The good thing, though, is, from what I understand, I was talking to somebody the other day, the virtual reality headsets, we're moments away from you saying, I want to be at a Rams game, and picking your ticket, picking your seat, paying a nominal fee, and you'll feel like you're at the game, and you'll be able to turn your head and see the stands and see the players and feel like you're there. And if you want, you can dump something on yourself and punch yourself in the face like you fought with somebody else. So I think the virtual reality thing is the way it's going to go. Thank you, Frank. I'm guessing they're pretty close. Somebody I talked to who's major in virtual reality said, we're there now, basically. They just have to put the stuff in place and the arrangements and licensing arrangements with rock concerts and with sports arenas and stadiums and team owners so that they can place you in the seat of your choice. And you can watch the game like you're there without leaving the house. So good luck. That's our future, man. We can be at any event we want to in our underwear at home. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tillman, the 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Futures Michio Kaku is next. So after the news, don't go anywhere. You'll learn about where this planet is heading. And KBC is heading out to Gore Hills. Keep your eyes out for the KBC van with pictures of all the personalities on it. It's heading to Gore Hills starting like right now, 11 o'clock. They'll be hanging out in the parking lot in front of the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. We've done many charity events. Listeners to come by starting at 11 are going to win passes to the advanced screening of Tomb Raider, starring Alicia Vikander, on March the 4th at the Grove while supplies last. So Tomb Raider in theaters only on March 16th. We're coming to Agoura Hills. with more great freebies from 790 KABC. So if you're in that area or you feel like driving to that area, good luck. Say, stop and say hi. Get a chance to go see that great movie. So coming up after we talk to Michio, we're also going to talk about the LAPD is defending their fact that there's an increase in arrests of the homeless. Whatever we're doing with the homeless right now ain't working. It's up 49% just since Mayor Garcetti got into office. And you can't keep repeating the same behavior and hoping for a different outcome, of course. There are a lot of issues, but I do want to talk about it because it's an issue that's now affecting all of us, not the least of which is of the 58,000 people that are out there, 5,000 of them are children, 4,000 are the elderly. We've got vets that are suffering, people who are, you know, been involved with domestic violence. It's really, really tough. I used to do work with LA Family Housing, which was traditional housing, transitional housing, which gave people a place to go temporarily while they got back on their feet, because so many people just have had bad luck, fired from a job, got cancer, and lost their home, living in their car. And I'll tell you, there were so many success stories just with this transitional housing, giving people a lift up for a short time, just a short time, letting them know that somebody cared and being proactive about it. So we signed a bunch of measures that provided a lot of money to help with this homeless situation. I'd love some transparency to see how they're using it, and I would love to discuss it with you next hour. We'll be back right after the news here. Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is Peter Tilden at 10. The phone number 800-222-5222. See ya.